Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. On Holy Trinity, the Christian Church considers the inconsiderable, God as he really is, God in himself apart from man. Unsearchable and inscrutable are the words that Paul uses here in our text. Inscrutable might be best translated as hidden. This all comes as a summary of chapters 9 through 11 in Romans, where Paul had been discussing God's choosing of Israel to be his people and their subsequent failure. And then comes the discussion of the engrafting of the Gentiles. And yet there is a deep mystery about it all. To human reason, it makes little or no sense. And so Paul concludes that no one can know the mind of the Lord. The human mind simply cannot grasp all of God and his divinity, nor understand his ways. We confess the Athanasian Creed. It wasn't easy. We stumble at the very things being described. Faith is required, but not understanding, because God cannot be grasped by the human mind. The power of God is unmistakable. Talk among many people, especially politicians, about man controlling the climate is the height of arrogance and absurdity. And yet many have simply written off the notion that there is a great and powerful God who controls the universe. Volcanologists, scientists who study volcanoes, warn that the massive volcano underneath Yellowstone National Park could suddenly explode and wipe out a significant portion of the human race. And volcanoes around the world keep erupting, and there is nothing that man can do except get out of the way. No one controls them. No one has yet spoken of trying to control them. The prophet Isaiah wrote, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span and closed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord, or what man shows him his counsel? Whom did he consult, and who made him understand? All the nations are as nothing before him. They are accounted by him as less than nothing and emptiness. To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness compare with him?" Scripture describes people as approaching God with fear and trembling because of his great power. When God confronted Moses at the burning bush, he told Moses to take off his sandals because he was standing in God's presence, and that was holy ground. Moses hid his face and was afraid to look at the burning bush. God was hiding his majestic power behind this burning bush. When God revealed himself to Isaiah in the temple, he concealed his majesty behind the seraphim. And the whole temple was filled with the smoke of incense, underscoring the unapproachability of God in his majesty. And as the seraphim called to each other, they chanted those familiar words of the Sanctus: "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Angels hide their faces and humans lie prostrate before this holy, unsearchable, inscrutable God. And yet our age has lost the sense of the holiness of God. This awe and splendor which is His, from which mankind is separated because of sin. For many Christians, God is just simply a good buddy who hangs out with them as they strum their guitars and pound their snare drums in their auditoria, mere gathering places. They call them praise songs, but I see little holiness about them. People these days have little regard for the holy, even in the divine service. Many people dress as though they were going to a sporting event, and the same clothes that they wear to the basketball game or the bowling alley are the same clothes that they wear to come into the presence of the holy and awesome God. Unless they really don't believe that God is truly present in the divine service. And I don't mean that in some ethereal way, but as Lutherans, we confess the real presence of Christ not only in the sacrament, but also in the Word. And we call our building a sanctuary, literally a holy place. We don't make it holy, but God does by His very presence. Should not our conduct reflect that? Should there not be reverence as we enter and quiet as we prepare to receive Christ and His gifts? We have a conscience because we know that we have sinned in many things. And even those who will not admit to such a concept of sin against God have what we might call an ought. They feel that they ought to do something to make life right, to correct the wrongs of society. They might call it trying to find a meaning in life. They see that they are in some way answerable to something they cannot or will not approach, and that something is really God, whether they acknowledge Him or not. When Isaiah was confronted by the presence of God and His majesty, his response was telling, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." But then that most amazing thing happens. One of the seraphim took a coal from the altar, a burning coal with tongs, and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." But the real glory of God is not His omnipotence, by which He could wipe this whole world and universe away and everything in it with a word. But His glory is rather in His self-disclosure in the Holy Scriptures. From the beginning, God kept Himself hidden from mankind, showing only brief glimpses into His nature and will. God's choosing of Israel to be His holy people makes no sense apart from the promise that from them would come a Savior who would rescue the world from sin and its eternal consequences, death and hell. God continued to be inscrutable until He sent His only begotten Son to become a human being born of the Virgin Mary, to redeem the world. Jesus Christ is not merely a Son of God, as some confess, but He has revealed Himself as the only begotten Son of God, the Son of the Father. Now, that word Trinity is found nowhere in the Bible, anywhere. Threeness doesn't help us understand God's essence. But as Luther says, since we have nothing better, we must say what we can. Here in the Holy Scriptures, we know God as He wants to be known, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father is not some indulgent grandfather who really doesn't mean what He says, but He is a consuming fire who will not tolerate sin in any form. To assert only the holiness of God apart from Christ Jesus brings no comfort, only terror. God is not your Father because He created you. That phrase, well, we're all God's children, simply isn't true. For many reject Him as Father, but He does remain their Creator and Judge, from which there will be no escape. Each of us is a sinner, and there is no escape from that indictment, and there is no earthly lawyer who can keep you out of hell. Only if sin is forgiven can one escape the wrath which is unimaginable and indescribable. Only through Christ Jesus, this only begotten Son of the Father, lifted up upon the cross, is there a way to the Father. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Christ's work is summarized well in the three ecumenical creeds of Christendom, the Athanasian, the Nicene, and the Apostles. The Athanasian and the Nicene creeds became necessary because there were teachers saying things about God that were not true. They were questioning God's very essence, and especially who Christ is and what He has done for us. The creeds are not additional material thought up by man, but concise summaries of what the Scriptures teach about the Holy Trinity and what He has done for us and still continues to do for us. We would know nothing about Christ and His work of salvation unless the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, had not revealed it to us in the Holy Scriptures. For He is, as we confess in the Nicene Creed, the Lord and giver of life proceeding from the Father and the Son, which means that the Father and the Son together send the Holy Spirit with this good news. He is the one who spoke by the prophets. He gathers people from all nations into the Holy Christian Church. He enlightens them with the true knowledge of God. He sanctifies them through the gospel. He makes us alive forever. There are three distinct persons, but only one divine essence. While we cannot truly comprehend all of this, yet we confess it without being able to grasp it, because that is how God has revealed Himself to the world. He is this holy, unsearchable, inscrutable God. And with the blessed Apostle Paul, we joyfully confess, for from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith through Christ Jesus our Lord.